Today in the Joy in the Word podcast, I want to continue our discussion of the fruits of the Spirit. Today, I want to specifically address self-control. Now, we just finished reading 1 Samuel, and of course, in 1 Samuel, the Lord originally asks Samuel to anoint Saul as king, and then the Lord told him that his kingdom would not endure because of several choices that he made, and in turn, asks Samuel to anoint David as king. So once Samuel anointed David as king, he knew that he would in fact be king one day. But he never did take the matter into his own hand. And as we just finished discussing, two different times David spared Saul's life. In both cases, he could have easily killed him and become king, and no one would have questioned it. But in both cases, David, functioning in self-control and trust in the Lord's timing, said, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed." So on these two different occasions, when David had the opportunity to take Saul's life and to promote himself to king, a position the Lord had already given him, he instead restrained himself, using self-control, to say, "Let the Lord decide when Saul's time is over." So he demonstrates a significant amount of faith and trust in the Lord's timing, but also self-control, and that he was there in that moment, so close that he was able to cut Saul's robe, so close that he was able to take his spear, and yet he didn't lift his hand against the Lord's anointed one. So David's actions here are summed up in what we read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives." So David said no to ungodliness, to taking the matter into his own hand, and he was self-controlled, and he waited upon the Lord. Now I want to move on to what Proverbs says about self-control. In chapter 25, verse 28, it says, "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control," meaning he's totally open, totally vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. In chapter 16, verse 32, it says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, and one with self-control is better than one who takes the city." So someone who can control themselves is stronger than someone who can take an entire city. Now, it says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's Proverbs 18:21, and that's important when we talk about self-control in regard to what we speak. Now what I want to do is move to the book of James. Let's first read what it says in chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." So in order to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, one must be in control of their flesh. Then in chapter 3, it talks specifically about taming the tongue. It is impossible to tame your tongue without functioning in self-control. It says in verse 3, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal." Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by just a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire. So what it's saying is, if we can't control our tongue, it can destroy us. In the same way that one small spark can burn down an entire forest, one wrong word can destroy an entire person. This is why it's so important to function in self-control in regard to the things that we speak, that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak, and especially slow to become angry. Now, if we go to the book of 1 Peter, he is specifically addressing the attack of the enemy. In chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Now, he prefaces that by telling us how we can be prepared. He says, be self-controlled and alert. That's what he tells us to do, and then goes on to say, because your enemy is like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So in order to not be devoured, not only do we have to be alert and ready, but most importantly, it says that we must be self-controlled. So now, after discussing what comes out of our mouth, let's talk about what goes into our mouth. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." It says, "Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble." Now, this would have taken a measure of self-control. Of course, if something is okay for you to eat, that might be fine, but it still may not be okay to eat it in front of someone else. It says it is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that would cause your brother to fall. So, going back to what it says in verse 19, do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Now, if you have to use self-control to not do something in front of someone else that would cause them to stumble, then do that, because it is better to deprive yourself than to cause someone else to stumble. Now, what we do know about food is in Matthew chapter 4. This is when the devil is tempting Jesus after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It says that he was hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Basically, you're hungry and you're able to turn the rocks into bread and eat. But Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So in this case, Jesus demonstrated not only self-control, but also the reality of the denying of his flesh and being led by his spirit, and saying it really has nothing to do with the physical bread, but it all comes down to having the spiritual bread. So, Lord, we want the spiritual bread. We do not want to be led by our flesh. We desire what Galatians tells us when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit meaning what is produced when you are led by the Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that your Spirit leads, and we submit to that Spirit and allow it to produce a control over our flesh so that it is not allowed to lead, and that we trust you and you alone, whether we like it, whether we don't, whether it hurts or whether it doesn't. We trust you, Lord, and we are not submitted to the desires of this flesh that would want things to be easy, that would want things to be the way that we think it should go. But instead, we desire for your Spirit to lead the way and show us what your will is, because we know that it is better than anything that we could want for ourselves.